and Ailish. It's that time. It feels rushed. I can't believe it's here. We went, how are we going to do 82 games of this team during a regular season? Well, we did it. It happened. It's behind us now. And nothing but good things to look forward to. Now it's the... Ailish said it's Christmas. Let's see if our next guest feels the same way. I love this man. And he's living a dream, right? He's out here. He's got a massive fan base. He's got new merch. He's got an unbelievably successful podcast. He's got a book that's, like, I think the number one selling book in the history of all books. It's like Bible 1, then It's Teenage Dream of Life 2. And yet, it's like... this
Chasing
be...
a Dream, the Carl English Story 3.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. What a list. And yet, it's weird because I like talking about this team with him because he loves them. But I also feel bad talking to him. You know what I mean? Like, I feel guilt bringing him on to discuss some of these things because it's also such a torture show. Steve Dangle, what's up, buddy? How we doing? Too soon? Too soon for playoff hockey despite those 82 quote-unquote meaningless games?
Oh, it's never too soon to talk to my friends J.D. Bunkus, Ailish Forfar, and noted best friend of wrestler Edge.
Yeah,
never,
all right.
Never.
Well, here's the thing. Oh,
we have him on, too.
We have Edge later in the show today. Do you have anything that you'd like to communicate to him? We can pass along a message. I don't know if you guys have had a falling out, if you guys are still texting, what the deal is there. But if you need us to pass a message, we can do that. Blake can certainly do that.
No, honestly, just talk to the guy about hockey. He loves it. every now and then, if the Leafs are playing good, if the Leafs are playing bad, I'll get... text from buddies and you know, of course we all know exactly what to do to fix the team and get them over the hump and get them to win the Stanley Cup. And what's weird is, like, Edge will just text me out of the blue and he'll just be like, "Oh man, I love Jake Muzzin." And I'm like, this is a very silly experience. This is very silly that Edge is texting me, but I love it.
Yeah, he does love Jake Muzzin. And I'm curious to see how that actually pans out for him. Like, does the number one Jake Muzzin lover, Edge, still want to see him have a leash in this postseason series, right? Because we've done all these different machinations of the blue line, and we've done who should be in, who should be out, blah, 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 blah. It hasn't exactly been the rosy season for Jake Muzzin. And now he's kind of being tossed in the fire here, being asked to maybe not be the entire physical presence of the blue line like in years past. But when we're talking about guys who I'm not sure are going to finish the series, and I'm not sure if they're going to finish the series, not because of health, but I guess maybe both. It's got to be sort of him, right? Is he not a guy that you circle and say, you got to play well or you're out? Or does he still have the, hey, it's Jake Muzzin, he's making over $5 million, he's one of your leaders, you're not taking him out? Where are you with him?
Oh, boy. It almost feels like this year the Leafs are built to intentionally hold guys out if they have to. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him play, 1, 2, 3, 4. Maybe he sits 5. Then hopefully he can play 6, 7 or something like that. Like, it doesn't look like Jason Spezza is going to make the game 1 roster. And I know those are two very different situations, but you see what I mean. Like, this is the deepest the team has been everywhere. In a long time, except for goaltending, obviously, because we're a groin tweak away from, being with the guy who is ranked 5th on the Leafs goalie depth chart heading into the season. But up front and on the back end, this is the deepest they've been in a very long time.
So the depth, obviously something that might give you a little bit of hope down the stretch. But what do you think about Matthews and Marner and this series coming up, and just tonight especially, how they have to kick it off on a right note, and if they've grown enough this season that you feel confident that they can do that?
Oh yeah. Matthews has, it's been a process, but it's an ongoing thing where he discovers how big he is. And it's like in the past he's needed to be reminded. No, he knows every single game. He's throwing reverse hits. He's bullying people off the puck. He's still a stick-lifting wizard. He can battle for pucks in front. I don't worry about Austin Matthews. And Mitch Marner is all of a sudden a man possessed. It's amazing to me that for someone who puts up so many points, you can actually trace the moment his season changed. And I don't remember the opponent, but there was a game where he passed up an easy shot. Like, if he had just taken the shot, it's probably going in. And it's, here it is. It's Mitch Marner yet again, pass first mentality. This guy's got to grow. He's got to figure it out if the Leafs are ever going to take a step. Well, sure enough, he decided to be greedy for the rest of the night, scored two goals. I think at least one of them was on the power play. And from like New Year's onward, there weren't very many players in the league who were better than him. And down the stretch, he's throwing hits. He had a game where he threw 10. Who is this guy? I think sometimes we forget how young this team is and how young those two are. And they've evolved greatly this season.
So optimism on that front. Other than those two, what is it that you might think is different this year, this time around, this postseason that gives you optimism, whether it's cautious optimism or not, that this will be at least a first-round win?
Oh, boy. Well, I don't think their goaltending is going to cost them. Jack Campbell has had a tumultuous season, but he showed enough down the stretch here that I think he's going to be just fine, and it's not going to cost them. Andrei Vasilevsky being on the other end of things is tough. But the Leafs have a lot of versatility in their sort of middle six, bottom six this year, and a lot of shutdown options. David Kampf is obviously going to get the hardest assignments, but if you have to, you can move Ilya Mikheyev off his line, put him on the third line in a shutdown role. Engvall went from borderline unplayable early in the season and was very much in the coach's doghouse for taking penalties and his defensive play. Shea Bow Wow, as Jeff Merrick likes to call it. And all of a sudden, Engvall is one of the most dependable guys in the team. Liljegren's taking a step. Like, I just don't look at the lineup and see any weaknesses, really. Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing. You don't want any weaknesses that the other team can zone in on. Like, I know it's the Tampa Bay Lightning, and I know that's a daunting task, but if you look at the Toronto Maple Leafs, to me, I don't really see a place to hide.
I agree. I think this team is incredible, and that's why I'm kind of heartbroken that they ended up with this matchup against the Lightning, because they're doing this whole thing of this is what we wanted and blah, 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 and you know, beat the best or whatever, all these different things. And I'm going, nah, you know what? I would just like to get out of the first round. And I've been looking at all these other matchups saying I'd rather have every other team in the NHL than the defending Stanley Cup champions. I'd rather face any other team with Vasilevsky because there's balance on the blue line. They've got this incredible top six. Well, I mean, you could extend it to top nine now because you're right. Engvall's been a breakout player, and Mikheyev's been a breakout player, and Nylander's going right now. And there's just so many reasons for optimism. Honestly, it's hard to choose. Like, there have been two quiet things this last little stretch. One was with Marner's 100 points or his chase for 100 points. No one really ever seems to bring up the fact that it's not just 100 points. He scored 35 goals. Like, this is someone who you could put him down for 20, but 35 is a massive leap. The other was Jack Campbell, how he went 7-0-2 or 7-0-1? 7-0-2 with a 9-15 save. That one makes sense, right? Because nobody wants to hype up Jack after the start of the season where we all had him written down for the Vezina and then he hit the slump and we're going, yeah, you're a prove it in the playoffs guy. Marner is a fascinating case because I think we all have that faith in Matthews that you outlined, right? The 200-foot game, the added physicality, just the nature of the sport and the fact that he scored at every level, whatever. Marner remains to be this guy where the fan base still has not done the full hook in. For a guy that was that shy of 100 points, 35 goals this season. How many people, you talk about this team constantly, how many times does that get brought up to you? Like when all those texts, right, of all the people who can fix the team, how many people brought up to you this year that Marner scored 35? Any?
Not nearly enough.
Yeah, none, right? And yet there still kind of is this doubt. And you mentioned how they're young, and I agree, right? This is the growing pains, and hopefully you see that kind of take this step this year. But if this happens again with Marner, right, where if we're looking at it and we say this is a player who regular season-wise is a on pace for, let's pull this back up here, somewhere in the notes, a 27-60 on average regular season versus 10-51 in the playoffs, the he's young thing goes out the window now, right? Like, this is it.
Oh, this is 100% it, but again, I don't see this as the same guy. Those goals started to go in for him, and you saw his confidence slowly building. Okay, this isn't just a streak. And by the end of the season, he was skating as good as anyone in the NHL. He was hitting as good as anyone in the NHL. He still had this all-world playmaking ability. But you saw this bloodlust almost for when he would shoot the puck and when he would score. There was a time, I remember a game a couple of years ago where it was either Tavares or Matthews was sitting on two goals and Marner wanted to get him a hat trick. Marner accidentally scored the goal himself and the camera zooms in on him and he swore because he was mad. And he earnestly for a long time seemed to relish assists more than goals. Now, no. He's got the taste for it. And I think everyone's in trouble.
Is there anything that could happen in this series where they lose, but you're not, like, I don't want to say disappointed because everyone's going to be disappointed. But if they lose, is there anything to the Lightning where you can go, okay, well, everything is correct and you're trying to run this back essentially, or they lose in the first round, that 6 years in a row, it doesn't matter. You're still measuring yourself up against Stanley Cup champions. That's where you're supposed to be in this point of the trajectory. Get it done. Who cares? No excuses. Like, where are you at just in terms of how you alter things if things go poorly?
Oh, man. I mean, in the same way that blowing a 3-1 series lead to Montreal ruined the psyche of an entire fan base, I think playing well against the Tampa Bay Lightning but still losing is going to – we're all going to turn ourselves into pretzels.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be the evidence of your heart and the evidence of your eyes. Our heart is going to say they blew it again. They can't do it. They can't get over the hump, blow it up. But the evidence of our eyes is, holy smokes, it's the Tampa Bay Lightning, and look how close they pushed them. Look how close the Leafs came. I don't want to cross that bridge until we get there, but I'm hoping that bridge doesn't exist.
Haven't crossed that bridge in your mind, as if you, as if that bridge hasn't been.
Not.
You've built that bridge.
Absolutely
that bridge,
not.
You built that.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, absolutely not. That bridge been under construction. You got a whole team out there with all the blueprints. They're like, Steve, you told us to build this bridge, and now you're telling these guys that the bridge is not supposed to be crossed. That what did we build this bridge for?
Listen, on the Sportsnet YouTube channel, where you can watch a Leafs game with Steve Dangle every single game, I made a video that went up yesterday night previewing the entire Stanley Cup playoffs. And I know people know my bias. I'm a Leafs fan, but who's harder on the Leafs than Leafs fans? The other day I was walking my dog and I had a vision, and I'm here to tell you they're going to win. They're going to win not just this series, they're going to win the cup. I had a vision and it's going to happen. I'm talking it into existence. I saw it happen with my own two eyes.
You act like you're the only person to ever take peyote. Like, you act like you're the first one to ever do that.
Listen, it's fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so yesterday, Steve, we had, you know, the press conferences, the media frenzy, talking to the coaches, and Keith comments on the borderline violent series that might be ahead. You see the Leafs projected fourth line, at least for tonight, that's all big boys, and the, you know, the fight mentality of this game ahead. Who might this type of play benefit? Is it the Leafs? Is it the Lightning? Is there a way that it is distracting as well for either team?
I think there's an element of the playoffs where you're just not allowed to play your game, really. And it's almost you're dreading the whistles because of what's going to come after it. But I think game one is when you try to soften up your opponent for game two, and then game three, and then game four. But one guy who I think this is going to benefit, because, I mean, Simmons seems obvious. Clifford seems obvious. Bunting would be obvious if he was in the lineup. Kerfoot is low key, like a little bit of a rat. Like, there's something about that face. And I don't think people.
Because he went to Harvard, Steve. He went to Harvard. That's why he's a rat.
Ah, I gotcha. I didn't say rat, but something about that face. But there are guys, again, in the middle of the lineup who, as the season has progressed, they've gotten into worse and worse moods. Ilya Mikheyev, tried to fight Sam Bennett. Did he fall and bump his head? Ilya, who told you you could open that door? But it's just, they're not afraid. He had a bee in his bonnet and he wanted to go. Kampf is another guy. And Engvall, I cannot believe, did not get a fighting major at some point this season because he engaged in a lot of the after the whistle stuff. And I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up being effective against the Lightning if they try to take him off the ice by getting him to fight. I think Keith was on to something. I don't just think that was gamesmanship. I think there could be a lot of fights game one.
Amazing. Well, we are so excited, obviously, for things to kick off tonight. We're excited to watch you react live, which is always a treat. So everybody tune in for that. And thanks so much for joining us, Steve. I love the confidence. Makes me feel great this Monday morning.
Plan the parade, baby.
Yeah, own it.
Steve Dangle, co-host, Steve Dangle Podcast, resident hockey YouTuber at Sportsnet, and optimist for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah. I feel optimistic as well. I don't know how you couldn't, because the team is good. And this is why I asked them the question about losing to Tampa and the hearts versus mind thing. Is I'm torn by this constantly. I go, well, they could lose to Tampa, and I would say process versus results. But then I would go, but how is that an excuse? You're supposed to win a Stanley Cup. You're better than Tampa on paper. If you're not beating Tampa this year, when are you supposed to beat Tampa? What, are the Leafs going to have a better team than the one they have this year? I know we felt that way last season when they kind of moved in and said, we're trading first-round picks to have Nick Foligno, and that was the best chance I think they had at making it to a conference finals and getting out of the first round, right? Because Montreal, as much as they went to the Stanley Cup playoff, the final, they weren't a playoff team. They really weren't. Mm-hmm. If they play a full regular season, we saw what happens to them. Leafs had a golden opportunity. But this team's better than last year's team. They've been tested differently, and they've proven that by just about every single measure. Other than, I would say, season-long goaltending, which has been a little up and down, but we just mentioned it, that the goaltending, they don't need it to be superstar level. They just need it to be competent and not break their backs, which is what Jack Campbell has given them over the last stretch. But the forward depth is better than it's ever been, and it fits, right? One of the blessings of the Bunting injury, I would say, and Kasha and whatever else, the non-fit between Nylander and Tavares, has been they've jumbled these lines constantly. They've gone, this guy goes here, and this guy goes there, and that guy goes there. And you know what turns out? That when you have a lot of good players, that you can find things that work. Right? So you've got a lot of reasons for optimism about this team. There are a lot of reasons to believe that the Leafs are one of the best teams in hockey, and I think they are unequivocally that. But if they lose to Tampa, I don't know how I'm going to react. And I don't mean to be inconsistent with this, but I feel that right now, that kind of level of torture where I go, if you're measuring yourself against the best, you're not quite there. But what if you're close and don't you have to run that back? Don't you have to go back at it again? Haven't you already proven that the process is correct? Like, obviously, if they get shelled, they get blown out of the water, it's four games, guys choke, that's easy. But what happens if it goes seven and it comes down to a bounce? That's what's going to be tough about this series, and that's what I hate about it being against Tampa.
I think it certainly depends on how Mitch and Matthews play. If Jack can steal one game, that's something I would hope for. You know, we said that he's not going to out-goalie Vasilevsky, but if he can steal a game out of seven or six, like, I think that is something the Leafs will need. Blake gave us all the stats about how Vasilevsky has out-goalied everybody throughout the playoffs, throughout the season. Well, Jack can do that once. And if he does that once, that's something that the Leafs can build on. I think if we look at if the Leafs win or lose a series, the way that we'll be able to evaluate it is if the stars show up. We talked about this with Pascal and the same kind of conversation about, are you going to be the way you played all season long in the playoffs when it matters? That's going to be the biggest thing. And if they lose, like, maybe you expect significant changes in, like, leadership, for example. We talked about how Dubas might be somebody that this conversation revolves around afterwards, but it really depends on how these things shake out, obviously. But, you know, Steve said it. I feel confident that this regular season means something in terms of the growth of this team. I don't think it's a blip. I think it really shows the growth that they've had, especially led by their stars.
We've said it for a while, too. If you're not going to have confidence or you're not going to believe in this version of this team, well, then you've said there's absolutely nothing they can do, right? Like, this is the greatest regular
season. Yeah,
you
just clean it out.
It's the best regular season in Leafs franchise history by a lot of different measures, whether you look at team success, Matthews and Marner together, how they played against good teams, all that stuff. The uncomfortable thing that looms over it for me, and where I have a source of anxiety, is how uncomfortable the roster looks if you do just if this does play out in a way that you have to revisit some things, because there's not a lot of flexibility in terms of, oh, we're gonna move this and we're gonna pivot here. That's obviously a post-series consideration, but that does kind of hang over things for me when you're talking about, okay, well, if this goes seven and you lose a tight one to the two-time defending champs and you're close but you're not all the way there, do you run it back? Well, the unsatisfying answer is that, yeah, you probably do, because there aren't a lot of other options flexibility and roster wise. So to me, that creates an even greater sense of
You have options. They're just uncomfortable ones.
Uncomfortable ones, yeah. And they're difficult.
Two months ago, the uncomfortable conversation was Garrett and Nylander, and things have changed since then.
Those big salaries have no movement clauses like that. So
if they lose, Nylander being traded is obviously going to be on the table, because it's the most obvious way to really impact this team outside of things like you're firing the GM or you're firing the coach. I guess to me, this is a two things can be true thing happening. And that's why we're so used to living in this world of extremes and everything is an ultimate, right? Dubas made the right call running this thing back. He had a great offseason. He had a great season. Like, sure, you can nitpick at things. The Mrazek contract was terrible, but every GM has misses. Ultimately, they identified Kampf. That was a huge hit. They identified Bunting and got him on that cheap contract. Yeah, I do think a lot of people could play with those two guys at the top, but Bunting fared extremely well, and they deserve a ton of credit for it. Nick Ritchie was a miss, but they turn him into a guy that actually brings a real physical presence on the blue line, and honestly, who cares about a second-round pick in 2020 whatever? You know? Like, it was a nice piece of business. Overall, it has been a very, very good season for Dubas. Didn't do anything overly reactionary, trusted the group, and they have rewarded him by showing that growth. Everything we see is real. I don't think anything is smoke and mirrors here. But the other side of this coin is you've built a cup contender. If you lose to another cup contender, I'm not really giving you a pass for that. Like, you know, you got to beat a cup contender to get there, just like anything. And so to me, it's almost even more disappointing knowing that Toronto really has a team that should go all the way. Last year, you didn't know because it was the North Division and everyone went, well, what exactly does this mean? How does this actually play out when you face a different team from a different conference? We didn't know. This year, we know on paper, they blow good teams out. A lot of them. That there's no team in hockey that should scare you. This is the scariest team, and the Leafs are favored tonight. And I think they're favored to win the series. And again, this is Vegas, whatever. But a lot of people are picking the Leafs, and I don't think that's homer stuff. I don't think that's their usual Leaf thing. People know this team is good. But they lose to this group. And, yeah, I really do think that at some point you need to hold people responsible, and I think that some people will need to be, and that you can't say six seasons in that that's just okay, that you lost with this group. Eventually, there's a little bit of a process versus results thing, and this is just kind of where I'm at with it. So, yeah, I'll feel better about the team. I think two things can be true. They made the right choices. They've got the right group. They've got the best team. But also, if they blow this sucker, and boy, I hope they don't. I hope we just don't even have to cross that bridge like C says. But I think that takes her back on the table, and that different ideas are definitely have to be accepted with this team. Because year seven with two more years left to Matthews, I think you really do need to make sure that you're evaluating everything.
You definitely do. And hey, these are uncomfortable conversations and they're negative conversations. And you know what you could do to put them out of mind? Win a playoff series, beat a team that has eyes on a third straight cup. And I honestly think, I don't want to get too, you know, psychological or into the heads of guys in the room, but if you beat Tampa, who just won two cups, I mean, why would any of the ghosts still exist from previous playoff runs? You beat the champs. You should have the confidence to move forward. Hockey's a little random still. It doesn't mean you're going to win the cup. But if there is any sort of doubt or psychological factor there, I do think beating Tampa Bay can go a long way. A little bit of a psychological factor in the wake and rake, maybe, because we had not our best week last week. Rough Friday. Anyway, let's take a break. What are you smirking at?
Well, we hit on Thursday, and then we went downhill quickly. But we got the one hit, so...
Yeah, that's all right. We'll get back on the winning track tonight. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll wake and rake. We'll talk about Jays Yankees game one, Leafs Lightning game one, maybe some NBA stuff. Wake and rake, best bets. That's next on the Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590 The Fan.
Breaking down the top stories in the NHL every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Morning Show, Sports at 590, The Fan, Blake Murphy, J.D. Buckus, Ailish Forfar. Give them a follow at their names on social media. Subscribe to this podcast wherever you get them. And hey, leave a nice little review. 5 stars for J.D., 5 stars for Ailish, 4.5 stars for me. If you can do that, I don't know if you can get that.
But in your books, that would be rounded up to 10 stars.
No, it'd be rounded up to 5.
Okay.
We don't round that far.
Sure.
By the way, I paid Vic. He didn't accept the e-transfer,
good.
But I paid him.
That's good karma coming deposit, into the Leafs.
He doesn't know. No,
you know who does? Old Ailish Forfar. You better believe
that. Oh, yeah, it goes right in the bank account. Boom. You can't withdraw it. You can't take it back. It's in there. It's already spent.
I had to ask her to grab my Jays tickets this weekend because I couldn't log on to my Ticketmaster account. But, yeah, so I don't feel as bad about missing my Friday pick. Mariners just they pooped it. They pooped early, and that
more
was
like
one
Matt
of those bummer
Trash.
Poops. Well, yeah, because I posted like again. I tweet out picks. I post on Instagram picks, and I gave Blue Jays under yesterday. I gave Gausman strikeouts over yesterday. I gave Blue Jays win yesterday. I gave Bucks yesterday. I gave the under in the Bucks game yesterday, and I gave the Golden State Warriors, which I think everybody was in on the money line there. But either way, it's like an incredible Sunday for me, and I posted these things. So
you posted like, all of that?
I posted all of them.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. So that was a good day. That was a good day. The only miss I had was a long shot Vladimir Guerrero Jr. home run bet, and he got no plate appearances. It wasn't his fault. All his teammates let him down. Nobody got on base, so I think Vladdy only had 3 plate appearances in that game. He showed up at the bottom of the 9th, and I was like, was he going to get another AB? Bottom of the 8th, and I was like, is he going to get another AB? No. Turns out, no, absolutely not. So, yeah, tough week for the wake and rake, but plenty of things to gamble on now, right? We've got NBA playoffs. We've got NHL playoffs. We've got Major League Baseball. I feel like we're at the sweet spot, actually, too, of the NBA playoffs, where you should have takes based on what we've seen, and the sweet spot of Stanley Cup playoffs, where it's, okay, well, what did you learn from the season, and what does your gut say going into a series early, right? Because a lot of these are coin toss games. You can usually find good value in the Stanley Cup playoffs early on. So let's see if we can do that. But before we do, if you guys want, I think we should start with the Leafs game. Leafs gambling angles for tonight before we get into the Toronto Blue Jays. The Toronto Maple Leafs, favorites, spooky. Spooky favorites. I think right now books have them between -120 and -130. That's pretty much the range. So people are betting on the Leafs. Tampa Bay +116, I see on one book. So the total is that sitting there, the old 6.5 is -114 where I'm seeing it right now. So a little bit of extra juice on the under. Blake Murphy, where do you see value, if any, on this series to start?
So I came across an interesting thing as I was prepping for the playoffs in general and researching, and I know that we talk about playoff hockey getting a little tighter and a little more physical. Last year, scoring was actually up in the playoffs. It went up from 5.48 goals per game in the regular season to 5.79, so a little bit of a boost there. And we know, of course, that this has been one of the higher scoring seasons in recent NHL history, in part because save percentage has gone down over month over month. Having said that, I still don't know about ever picking the over against Vasilevsky. Like, do you think you're going to win a 4-3 game? Do you think you're going to get 4 by on him? Probably not. There are not enough player props up yet to get too invested there. The Matthews shot total will be one that I look at once it's up, but it's not there yet. In general, I don't have a strong feel on this one. I think the Leafs are justifiably slight favorites in the series, but I don't want to put money on top of emotion.
I like doing that, and obviously I do that cautiously coming into this playoff series. Yeah. But I said it, you know, earlier in the show that the Leafs really need to win this first game. I think there's like a 60 or 70% confident, like teams that win the first game end up winning the series. I think that that matters. Getting off on a good foot and playing on home ice and having the momentum of the crowd, I really think that that gives the Leafs the upper hand. And if you're looking at goal scores, because I love a goal scoring prop, I wouldn't expect the big guys to not have a big night. I would really hope they would. And Matthews is still minus money for a goal, but Kucherov and Stamkos, if you want to bet against the other guys, are plus money. I think that there's some value in just maybe thinking of, while you're maybe live betting too, of players that are looking good to get some points. But I agree with Blake's thing with the over-under is a tough one. The goaltending matchup will be intense, to say the least.
I like the total as an under as well. I just remember the way that Vasilevsky looked against the Leafs in his last start, and that these two goaltenders are both playing extremely well, and I think both teams understand the value of this first game. Ailish, you mentioned it, that the Leafs really need to get off to a good start. Well, the thing about the Leafs is getting off to a good start means good team defense, being responsible, not getting caught up in a game where they start to play loose. I think both teams are going to play a very, very tight checking game. The real question to me when it comes to the total, which is the reason for pessimism or optimism, depending on the way that you look at it. If I'm Tampa Bay, I'm trying to force the issue early in the series with physicality. I want Toronto to know that I'm here and we're not changing the way that we play. And Blake mentioned that stat earlier in the show of Tampa actually took more penalties or a higher penalty rate last season in the playoffs than they did in the regular season. I wonder if they're a little bit more cautious of that, considering their opponent is so deadly on the power play, and it feels like Toronto's biggest momentum swinger can be if they start ripping goals with that specialty unit. But if you're Tampa and you can establish physical play in the series early on, beat Toronto up, show them that you're the team that can do that, that plays playoff hockey, but then also kill their penalties en route to a victory, that feels like the number one, hey, we can take this series at an edge that out of any direction, right? There's nothing Toronto's going to do in game one that's going to make you feel confident that they're going to win the series or overly confident that they're going to win the series. But Tampa Bay could get to the middle of the net, to get to the front of the net, beat Toronto up in the corners, rough them up, take the odd penalty, kill those penalties, and if they win a game like that, you as a Leaf fan are going to feel completely distraught, and you as a Toronto Maple Leafs player might be looking around the dressing room after a game like that thinking, boy, what do we got to do here? We're in real trouble already. So if I'm Tampa, that's the way I'm doing things. So the total, that scares me a little, because maybe there's a little bit of an uptick in penalties after Keith called out the refs and they had this whole song and dance about officiating and then Tampa knowing that it's going to be a physical series. I could see there being a lot of power plays in this game, but I still like the total as an under, because outside of that, I think the 5-on-5 play is going to be very, very well contended. I anticipate a lot of shots from the outside, and if it's a lot of shots from the outside on these two goaltenders, the way that they're playing right now, I don't expect a lot of goals. So the total to me, it's not sexy, it's nerve-wracking, but that's the way that I'd be leaning as well. I don't think that there's a price either way that makes sense from a value standpoint other than playing the Lightning, but that's a no play for me on either side of the puck.
Cool. Yeah, I think that all makes sense. Do we want to go to Jays or do we want to touch on some of the other NHL series?
Well, I was going to say, well, I have my best bet tonight is another NHL series. But what I was going to say is there anything from a series price that you guys like in this? Because there's a lot of series price stuff like player goals, for example, Nylander over 3. I think is a lot for Nylander. It's pretty interesting. Matthews' total for goals in the series over 4.5 is plus 100. 5 goals in a series, it's asking a lot of the guy. Tavares is a very interesting one to me. Over is 2.5 goals at plus 120. And I think that Tavares is going to be asked a very different thing in the series. Like, he is not going to necessarily need to be the secondary scoring weapon. But if you're telling me, out of all these guys, that he's plus 120 for over 2.5 goals, I think that that's the best value, considering that Marner 3 is minus 125 and Nylander 3 is minus 120.
I mean, Nylander showed up pretty big in the playoffs last year, he was like the only one, and he had to carry a lot of that offense, it felt like. So if he's scoring over 3.5 goals, we might actually be in a little bit of trouble, because I'm really hoping that the other guys are scoring over their goal scoring limit. So I like that Nylander bet. I'm hoping that he is able to be a leader in this series. Like, he's the captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's a prestigious title. People are have your eyes on you, and he's been a little bit more quiet, so that could be a really important thing if he's able to hit that. So I like that bet, JD.
Tavares is a half a goal a game guy in his playoff career. 15 goals in 30 playoff games. Got hurt last season, and it was a big story of no Tavares. He's going to still be on that power play. If we think there's going to be penalties, he's going to be there. So just from a pure gambling standpoint and a value standpoint, I think plus money, especially plus 120, so that's you win $120 if you bet $100, for Tavares to score 3 goals in a series that we think could go 7, like, I think there's value in that. Again, I anticipate a long series. I think a lot of people anticipate a long series. And so for me, I think there's a little bit more consistency or a little bit more probability anyways that he scores 3 goals than Matthews ends up potentially scoring 5. Could be wrong, but think he'll end up with some decent matchups. He'll probably have some more defensive zone draws than those other guys, but either way, Tavares plus 120, that is my series play for this. Any other series play that you guys like? Points, series prices, anything? Nothing? Okay, we can move on.
Sorry, you smacked your lips. I thought you were about to start talking.
Nope, I'm just thinking.
All right.
No, yeah, so I'd probably lean overs on some of the player prop stuff as well, just because I'm very confident this series is going long. So you have to factor that in when you're making those kind of bets. And if you look at the series correct score prices, it's a lot of, hey, this certainly suggests it's going 6, if not 7.
So
I wonder if you can bet over or under Kasha games played in this series. He's coming back without playing any regular season games. A little bit worried about that one. Obviously, I'm just playing around, but it's an interesting fact.
I don't see any even Kasha point scoring props in this series, but I'm with Blake that I think this thing's going to go long. I just think the books have actually also accounted for that, because, like, you see Matthews at scoring 5 goals. I don't think that they think that's in a sweep. I don't think that they're like,
that'd
hey,
be elite.
Regular season.
Here's the thing. If the Leafs are going to sweep, it's going to be because Matthews scores 5 goals and dominates. So
I mean, that's
you could parlay that with Leafs in 4 and Matthews over 5.5 goals.
Basically, there's no scenario where he doesn't score 5 goals. Either they sweep and he's dominant, or it's a long series and he plays well. I'm not willing to entertain the idea of a long series where he doesn't play well.
I think that series prices are usually one of my favorite things to bet throughout the entire year. Like, if you go through and you look at point totals for different guys, and you end up picking, like, the correct amount of games in a series, that's always very, very fun. By the way, if you want to pick the Toronto Maple Leafs to win in a Game 7, if you feel like that's the way this thing's going to go, plus 425. If you want,
let
to
me
pick
tell
the
you
Lightning,
what the play is going to be right now, though. If you bet that, you are hedging the hell out of that next Saturday. Because you're sitting there with a 3-3 series and basically a plus 425 money line for the Leafs in that game. You are hedging that like crazy.
You absolutely are. Leafs to win in 6 is plus 500. Same with Leafs to win in 5, which is kind of interesting. Tampa to win in 5, plus 775. Tampa to win in 6, plus 475. And Tampa to win in 7, plus 550. So again, the Leafs are favored in the series. Like, again, Tampa at minus 192 to be plus 1.5 games, as in it does go to the Game 7, is a pretty interesting price. But I could also see this game, this series being wrapped in 6 as well. I don't know, maybe a little bit too much juice there. But if you're a heavy bettor, I think that that's a decent one. Okay, so moving on to the Toronto Blue Jays and the New York Yankees, the best two teams in baseball right now. Ross Stripling on the bump tonight. Don't know the degree of confidence against the Yanks. Jordan Montgomery on the other side. Montgomery's been phenomenal this year. He's got a sporting a 2.70 ERA, 15 Ks. Somebody that I have always been a little bit higher on. Always thought that he was one of the better guys. But either way, Blair mentioned it. The Yankees pitching staff has been phenomenal this year. The Blue Jays pitching staff has been solid. Stripling's been solid. Jays tonight, I see it as they are a minus 105 favorite to the Yankees. Slight favorites, minus 115. How are we feeling about tonight, Blake Murphy?
Yeah, so this is it's a tough one for the Jays. It's a tough spot to be in. So not only is Stripling, we're all fond of him, but you know, he's giving you five innings at most. You wouldn't expect Jordan Romano or Tim Mayza to be available today. They've both thrown 30 pitches or more over the last 2 days. Everyone else should be available in that bullpen, but that's obviously your top righty arm and your top lefty arm. So if you're looking ahead to later innings, that's a concern. The Yankees are also just the number two offense in baseball so far. 123 WRC plus, so that tells you their offense has been about 23% better than average in a neutral environment. So yes, that adjusts for the fact that they don't play in a neutral environment. They play in a joke environment, and they're the only team in the league that has hit as many home runs as the Toronto Blue Jays. So feels like a bit of an offensive night. Now, where this one gets troublesome is that Montgomery, if you're looking at the over, Montgomery, like you said, JD, has been very good. And I don't know that there's enough track. Some Jays have had pretty good success against him. Aspinall, Bo, Vlad, Kevin Beasley's not available tonight, but he's had success against him in the past. I don't know if that's enough sample. And you also have things like, well, Lourdes Gurriel hasn't hit him well. Springer hasn't hit him well. Montgomery's a different guy so far this year. I don't know that you're going to put too much stock in prior matchups. So it's a tough one in terms of total, because the Yankees side of this feels like an over and the Jays side of it maybe feels like an under. So I guess I'm pessimistic about the Jays tonight.
Is it bad that the first thing that I thought about betting was the Yankees over, just individually team totals, because I looked at their last couple games and they've hit 12, 10, 12, and 10, 5, and 6. Runs, and that's significant. They're over 4.5 is plus 110.
Yeah, listen, I'm with you guys. I can't sugarcoat this. I think the value tonight is on the Yankees. This is a gambling segment. This is where we're supposed to check the homerism. Sometimes we do the homers parlay, but if we're just going based on the information in front of us, the Jays have their fifth starter out there against that elite offense and a pitcher who has been phenomenal this season on the other side of the bump. A Yankees team that's won 9 straight games. I guess that's, like, to me, the biggest case for the Blue Jays is the Yankees have won 9 straight games. But you could flip that and go, well, the Blue Jays have won every series, or they haven't lost a series yet. So which of these streaks is going to come to a head here? The Jays
could
have
also
used Jordan Romano. Yeah,
sorry. I was just going to say, on the Montgomery front too, I've seen some, oh, well, he's going to regress because, you know, his FIP or his BABIP or whatever, his home run per fly ball. But there's also some possible positive regression where his strikeout rate has dropped significantly through his first 4 starts, but he's still missing bats at the same rate, and he's walking even fewer guys. So the regression could work both ways for Montgomery, where you're not too confident, especially with this Jays lineup. Without Teoscar back yet, on being the ones who find regression with Montgomery.
I also don't think that Jordan Romano will be available tonight. He pitched back-to-back days, and so you have to – this is one of the good things about betting on your own team or paying attention to betting against your own team, is that you should be very in tune with who is available out of the bullpen, because that can absolutely swing a series. So for the Jays to not have their best relief pitcher available to go tonight, that's a big factor for me. And I factor that into the price when I look at these things. So if you're even saying that there's only slight edges that are heading towards the Yankees, that one is one for me. I think the Yankees have a deeper bullpen. And yeah, Blake, I know that there's no Chapman. I like their bullpen a lot more than I like the Jays' bullpen. And the Jays' bullpen
for sure. I just thought I should mention. Yep. They have two other lefties in there, so it's not like, and it's not like the Jays are a team you worry about having that lefty-lefty matchup against anyway.
Correct. Absolutely. So yeah, tonight I think will be a no play for me. However, I do think that there is value on the Yankees, and I think this is a bit of a tough spot for the Jays, a little bit of a tough spot for Ross Stripling, and yeah, Ailish, I think that one of the better bets is probably that Yankees over.
A good text in the text line as well, and you can always send in your best bets and what you're thinking of betting tonight at 590-590. Judge, 7 homers in the last 8 games. Boy. That's pretty good.
7 is a lot. 7 is a lot.
That's a lot. He's probably got some, you could probably bet just a him home run. I'm going to pull it up and see how much that is. Player home runs. Oh. I don't see.
Not there yet.
Plus 285. That's it.
Ooh. Okay. Well, that's factored
in. I think that's
the
lowest amount.
Okay. So, yeah, no strikeout totals for me today. Nothing else. I don't really love any other playoff props. I'm leaning a little bit towards, again, the Bo slump buster theory that he got off the schneid in that game yesterday, and that maybe now he's about to turn a corner. But I don't think that the prices reflect his slump yet. It's still kind of showing a guy that's respected as one of the better players in baseball, so I haven't seen that value get there yet. Okay, let's move on. It's time for best bets. Ailish Forfar, you seem to have something locked in. You had a playoff pick. I wonder if it's the exact same one as mine, so go ahead. You can take it if you've got it.
Okay, excited for the playoffs to finally begin. My best bet tonight is the Edmonton Oilers over the LA Kings in regulation. So them just on the money line is -192, but in regulation, -125. Reasons I like this: Oilers are 19-7 in their last 26 home games. They're 21-5 against the Pacific, and Kings are 0-5 in their last five games as underdogs. The Oilers have a lot to prove. They haven't won a playoff series in 5 years. Mike Smith is playing well. You got Draisaitl and McDavid killing it. I feel good about that bet. I think the Oilers are going to win that series, but they're going to start off on a good foot tonight.
I agree. I think that the Kings are wildly overmatched here. I don't think that they're a very good team. They're kind of a fun team, but
yeah,
you're missing Doughty. You're one guy with real experience. I think that they're, this is where the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference divide greatly, is the bottom teams that got into this sucker. And I will admit that this is one of the most infuriating matchups from a standpoint of, you look at the caliber of opponent that the Leafs got this year, like, okay, and I'm not trying to be a big crybaby, and I know that if you were an Edmonton fan, you'd be looking at this, but Edmonton had, I believe, 104 points this year. Toronto had 115. Toronto gets to play the defending Stanley Cup champions, and Edmonton will be facing a Kings team that had a goal differential of +3. For context, the Toronto Maple Leafs had a goal differential of +62, and the Tampa Bay Lightning had a goal differential of +54. You can never reseed the playoffs so that the East plays the West. There's always years of imbalance, but that's just infuriating. It just drives me insane. My best bet is the Minnesota Wild on the money line. They're one of the best home teams in all of hockey. So you want to get out and set that tone early. They're 31-8-2 at home this season. They're dominant there. They whoop ass there. They also ride an 8-1-1 last 10 game streak. So I like the Minnesota Wild tonight. I'm rolling with them on the money line.
The Minnesota Wild were high on my sheet as well. It's also, I show it as the best series price value. They're only -150 favorites. You got to give the Blues a lot of benefit of the doubt with some of their system related stuff to think they're going to be that that tight in the series. So some projections have them up around 70-75% to win, them being the Wild, but they're only -150. So some good series value there. I am not going NHL. Wild would have been my NHL pick tonight. I'm going to go back to baseball. We're going to go with the under 6.5 in Atlanta and New York, the Mets, not the the Yankees, obviously. It's ace day. It's Max Fried against Chris Bassett. Both of those guys have been very, very good to start the year and very, very good over the last couple of years. Atlanta's offense has really cooled off, and the Mets are probably due some regression from their hot start at the plate. Get it while you can, because, well, it's not going to go to under six. We just don't see over unders like that. But I think you're going to lose some of the value on under 6.5 as the day goes. So our wake and rake for today, May 2nd, is the Braves and Mets under 6.5 with Fried against Bassett on the hill, the Edmonton Oilers in regulation, and the Minnesota Wild on the money line. Lock it in. Let's get hot. Let's start the NHL playoffs off right, the same way we hope the Leafs do tonight. Let's take a break, and let's close it out with an hour or more of Leafs. We'll talk to Justin Bourne on the other side, and then we've got Edge, WWE superstar, coming up at 9:30. That's next on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.